And then I said something I felt regret for the crew. I find no comfort in it, find no joy in it, so I immediately called the senator's campaign to send my statement of apology if any harm or hurt that this may have or may cause his campaign.
Apologies. They're bountiful in America these days. Jesse Jackson recently apologized for remarks he made about Barack Obama. Barack Obama apologized for the way his staff handled two Muslim women at a recent political rally. And we reported yesterday that the American Medical Association recently apologized for years of discrimination against black physicians. But when is apology appropriate? And could apologizing ever work against you? Our regular contributor, Judge Lynn Toler, has heard her share of apologies in her time on the bench. She's here with us now. Welcome, Judge.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. So
good.
You have done so many things in the courts. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want to find out if you consider yourself a good gauge of the sincerity of apologies. Let's start with Reverend Jackson's statements. I don't want to repeat them here, his apology afterward, which we heard. What did he need to do to give a successful apology, and did he do it?
I think he did give a successful apology. I am of the camp that though he said it, it wasn't really. He has the right to his opinion. He thought he was talking down to black people. He said something tacky and rude, no doubt about it. It was inappropriate, but he didn't think he was being broadcasted. And, yeah, I'm sorry you heard that, but guys who are out there in the world, especially through the age and the time that he was out there, sometimes their language isn't all flowery and beautiful. And he didn't think he was being heard by America. It was the off-the-cuff, you know, comment he made because he was irritated. So I think his apology was more than adequate.
Let's go deeper into your life as a former municipal court judge. Has an apology to you on the bench ever changed your mind?
Yes, it has changed. Well, it sometimes changes the nature of the conversation that I have. Everybody apologizes to me when I'm on the bench because I'm the person that determines whether they go to jail for 60 days or 18 months. So I'm sorry. That is, you know, their attorney tells them to do that. But if I get an I'm sorry followed by an indication that he or she understands the nature of their wrong, why it happened, and I am able to engage them in conversation about how to change what they do so it will not reoccur, an apology plus will get you somewhere.
What constitutes a good plus? Give me a very concrete example.
A very concrete example of a good plus. If you have a situation where, I had a situation where this guy had shoved his wife. And he said, you know, I am so sorry that I did that. And, you know, my daughter was in the room. And he says, it hurts my heart to think she saw me do that, that I didn't. You know, that apology was one that included an understanding of the depth of the wrong. He didn't say, I'm sorry, but I was upset. He said, I'm sorry, and I see how wrong it was.
I want to move on to another case, and not your case. Stan Tookie Williams was sentenced to death by lethal injection. Before he was executed, he apologized for founding the street gang, the Crips. He never apologized for the murders he was convicted of and maintained his innocence of those crimes, even when perhaps it would have gotten him lenience. Are there advantages, and we don't know whether or not he was innocent of those crimes, but are there advantages to apologizing, even if you've been convicted?
There might be advantages to your soul. I think by the time they got you strapped to the table, they don't care what you say. You're going to go.
But what about previously for something like parole or life imprisonment as opposed to the death penalty?
That would have to take place at the time that you were. In the parole proceedings, it does make a difference because you do have to accept responsibility. A lot of parole boards don't even want to hear you unless that jump has been made. And the right apology, but it has to be an apology plus. I'm sorry alone, to me, is rather meaningless. I'm sorry. A lot of times it's, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry there was a problem. You know what I mean? I'm sorry that I'm here, but I'm sorry doesn't mean anything if it doesn't follow by, you know, by true contrition and change. And that's what the parole board's looking for. That's what a judge is looking for, the true contrition and change.
Let's talk about a different aspect of the legal system, an apology. One example is that there was an inmate named Daryl Hunt who served 18 years for murder. He was proven innocent and exonerated in 2004. Later, the city of Winston-Salem in North Carolina offered a financial settlement and an apology to Hunt. Is that kind of apology good for everyone?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. That kind of apology is good. Number one, because it was followed by an act of contrition, which was monetary, number one. And number two, it is good for people to see that the system can acknowledge that it made an error. That gives better confidence in the system. Some judges don't think that, but I really do. Once it's clear you messed up, to say mea culpa means that we've looked at what we've done. We do not believe we are right just because we are the final word. And that allows for growth. It allows for better systems. It allows for, you know, judges to rethink what they do, to be more willing to reopen cases. So that kind of apology, I think, does benefit public faith in a system that they're required to rely on.
Very quickly, what can we learn from how the justice system treats apology?
We can learn that apology alone is meaningless unless it is combined with other things. An apology, however, is often very meaningful in and of itself on an emotional level. Victims' families need to hear that. It doesn't change. It doesn't make closure. But they do have some feelings that need to be addressed. An apology in that form, when you're acknowledging another person's, your damage to another person's emotions, life, that does have meaning.
Well, Judge Toler, always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Lynn Toler is the star of Divorce Court and author of My Mother's Rules, A Practical Guide to Becoming an Emotional Genius. She joined us from the studios of KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona. And that is our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, we continue our month-long series on jazz. We'll take a look at the best places around the country to hear artists perform.